My tracking devices, based on the one my father developed, can detect any mutant within a 300-mile radius. No mutant on American soil will be able to evade them. We have also given one to our allies up north, the UK and Australia. And once I sell the patent to the rest of the world, well, you see where I'm going. So, mutants, turn yourselves into the authorities to be detained, or my sentinels will come find you.
There is nowhere left to hide.
What do we do?
We need to leave. If they find us all here, the school's cover will be blown.
And go where?
Muir Island, in the Scottish Isles. Moira has a facility there, and it is out of our government's jurisdiction.
I hate to be the one to tell you this, Professor, but if our government asks the UK to hand us over, they will.
But they'll have a harder time than they would on American soil.
I guess we better get ready to go.
Pack lightly. This is not a vacation.
The X-Men take to their rooms, throwing some clothing into bags and getting into their costumes. As behind him, Jean Grey packs for him, Scott Summers places his visor over his eyes and looks into his room's mirror and sighs.
Guess this makes us a real couple.
Hmm?
Me, packing for you?
I guess so.
I'm scared, Scott. Even after everything so far, this...
I know. Me too.
Scott walks over and pulls his girlfriend into his embrace. Jean rests her head on his shoulder.
Just promise me something. Promise me you won't die and leave me alone in this insanity we call a life.
I'll promise if you will.
Promise.
Scott lowers his head into a passionate kiss. Meanwhile, down the hall, Alex Summers looks in on Lorna.
All set, kiddo?
I think so. Alex, the rest of them have done stuff like this before. We
are X-Men, just like them. We are trained for this. Besides, I don't think they've ever faced anything quite this bad. We're all in the same boat here.
I guess.
Hey.
Alex walks up to Lorna, placing his hands on her shoulders, and looks into her eyes.
You're safe with me, okay?
Okay.
As the two share this moment, across the hallway, Bobby Drake glares through the open door, then shakes his head with a mixture of anger and sadness, and heads off down the stairs. At the bottom, his beastly friend stands, looks in confusion as the other boy passes in silence.
You okay, Bobby?
Never better.
As the Blackbird shoots through the air, breaking the sound barrier, the X-Men and their professor pass the trip in relative silence, save for a few private conversations.
Have you tried contacting Agent Duncan, sir?
Yes. I can't get a hold of him anywhere. I fear the worst.
Jean and Scott sit together, chatting away in their own world.
Huh.
What?
Nothing, they just... How can they look so happy at a time like this?
Because they're in love. Makes me want to puke.
Oh, come, Bobby. You wouldn't be saying that if it was you.
Well, I'm not going to find out now.
I thought you and Zelda.
Zelda? She's off to college next week. College. In Boston.
Oh.
Why do you care?
Because I care about you.
As much as you care about Alex?
What?
Do we have a problem, Drake?
Alex, calm down.
No, no problem. I guess I should have expected it. The Summers brothers always get what they want.
What are you talking about?
How about both of you shut the hell up and stop being such jerks? I'm not some prize to be fought over.
All of you calm down. This is not the time for childish nonsense.
But he...
I said quiet, Mr. Summers.
Alex slams himself back into his seat, refastening the buckles of the safety harness. As he looks up to Lorna, she sneers back at him and turns away. Alex then looks to his older brother, who just shakes his head back at him.
What?
Since when did they all get so close?
You missed a few things.
Evidently. Hang tight, people. We're here.
The Blackbird comes in for a landing, swinging around and firing its vertical thrusters, lowering onto the facility's landing pad. Moira MacTaggert looks on as the engines of the massive jet power down. A few minutes later, the ramp lowers, and from the plane wheels Xavier, with the X-Men behind him. Despite everything that has occurred, he and Moira smile warmly as they see each other again.
Hello, Moira. It's been too long.
Good to see you too, Charles. Everyone, I wish the circumstances were better.
As do I.
These must be the newbies. Alex, was it?
Yeah.
And Lorna.
Hi.
A pleasure to meet you both. Any student of Charles is welcome here.
Whoa. Moira, you built all this yourself?
The group look around in amazement at the massive building ahead of them. With its many solar panels and satellite dish, the facility looks more like something out of a sci-fi movie than a real building.
Well, the contractors did the construction. Things are almost finished. Soon this place will be the finest mutant research center in the world.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Bobby, Moira, it truly is incredible.
Indeed it is. It puts our sub-basement to shame.
May we have the tour?
Of course. This place is as much for all of you as it is for me.
Hello there, Professor. Nice to be seeing you again.
The group looks over as a familiar figure walks towards them from the entrance.
Sean? Sean Cassidy? What the devil are you doing here?
Well, like I said, I didn't fancy living at a school. But as soon as I got home, Moira here contacted me, offered me a place here instead. Took me some convincing, but I'm glad I took her up on her offer now. Best decision I ever made. Plus, I get to stay a short scream from home.
Short scream?
Aye.
You should see his progress, Charles. Sean here can actually use his sonic scream to make himself soar through the air. Using the gliding suit I made for him anyway.
Sonic scream?
Aye. You should hear me singing voice, lad.
It would seem we have too much to catch up on. But it can wait. We need to come up with a plan.
Aye. Okay. Sean, show the others around. Charles and I need to talk.
All right. No problem. Come with me, kiddies.
The group walk as one, talking amongst themselves as they head indoors, through the automatic double doors to the high-tech facility. Lorna still avoids eye contact with both Bobby and Alex. Xavier and Moira retreat to her office, where they talk for hours. They are on opposing sides at first, but finally, at the end, they begin to meet somewhere in between.
It's that simple, Moira. We make a stand or we lose everything. But not here. I won't drag you into this.
I'm already in this, Charles. And like it or not, you need me.
Yes. I suppose I do. Did you get your Cerebro unit online?
Barely a day ago.
Good. I need to use it.
For what?
I need to contact every mutant we know. Tell them what is happening and offer them a safe haven. Or at least safety in numbers.
All the mutants we know?
Yes. All.
And this is where you'll be staying. The living area with 15 separate rooms in this block alone.
Wow, is that a 3D TV?
Aye, lad, it is. Knock yourself out.
Sweet.
Very nice. I see Moira's been busy.
So, if you don't mind me asking, what are we facing here? What are these sentinels?
You don't want to know, Sean.
And I hope you never have to find out.
I'm afraid that time may have passed. Last time all we had to do was shut down the Mastermold AI to stop them. Now?
The US government has total control.
Well, my voice is at your disposal. An honorary X-Men for the day.
So what's your code name?
The professor insists we all have code names on the field.
I see. Moira did tell me about that. Call me Banshee.
A wailing ghost. Good choice.
Thanks.
At the other end of the huge facility, Charles Xavier approaches the second Cerebro unit, lifting its helmet from the console and placing it down over his head.
Oh, I hope you know what you're doing, Charles.
So do I. Pietro, Wanda, can any of you hear me? Pietro, Wanda.
Yes, we hear you. What do you want, Xavier?
I take it you've seen the news.
How could we miss it?
Then you know what is coming.
We can hold our own here. They won't find us. Our base is made from the same material as Magneto's helmet.
Evidently incomplete. If I can pick you up and talk to you, then obviously it isn't enough. And their new tracking system is 10 times stronger.
I see your point. There are some gaps in the system. This was our base before Genosha. From what I hear, Magneto didn't have a chance to finish it, but it has kept you from finding us.
Simply because I wasn't trying. Trask and his supporters will do everything in their power to hunt all of us down and see us detained or dead.
What are you proposing?
We stand and we fight. Together as a species. No more division. No more X-Men. No more Brotherhood. Just mutants, standing as one.
Even if we wanted to?
We aren't alone here anymore.
What?
Toad escaped. He had 2 others with him. Eunice was taken down when you found him. But Toad let the one called Blob, the guy from the circus, right back here.
Well then. My offer extends to them as well.
There's something else. Someone else.
Who? Mastermind?
No. Him. He's awake. Has been for 3 days.
Oh my.
A day later, the X-Men and their allies stand outside the Muir Island facility, waiting, their hearts racing.
They're late.
This is a really, really bad idea, Professor.
Either we embrace them, embrace him as allies, or we fight a battle on 2 fronts. And neither side can afford that right now. We need to stand together, united as mutants.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Charles.
The group swallow hard and nervously look up as Magneto and the new Brotherhood lower from the grey clouds and gently set down before them. Magneto gives a slight lopsided grin as he walks towards them.
Hello, Eric. I'm glad to see you're okay.
Are you?
Yes. It was never my intention to permanently hurt you.
Wish I could say the same.
Magneto slowly turns his head towards Jean. Jean, barely holding back the tears as she looks back at him.
Well, now we're all here. We need a strategy.
We have one. We hold this place, and we hold it until there are no sentinels left.
Or none of us left.
Hank, was it? You have changed, lad. And you, boy, I don't believe I caught your name.
That's the little brother of the dork with the visor. We've, met. I've been itching for some payback.
Go for it, fatso.
Alex, no.
Agreed. We are allies. For the time being. The rest of the pettiness can wait.
Magneto looks from Alex towards Lorna.
You. I have been informed that you...
Stay away from her!
You heard him.
Tell me, girl, is your mother well?
She died 2 years ago.
Ah, I'm sorry to hear that. She was a good woman. For a human. We need to talk, Lorna. Alone.
You won't be getting anywhere near her.
Hello, Moira. It has been a long time.
Wish I could say it's good to see you again.
You haven't changed at all. Do you think it's wise, Charles, to have a mere human here with us?
This mere human is going to punch you right in the mouth if you don't shut it.
Moira will be of great use to us, Eric. I'm sure of it. Besides, this is her island.
I see. Let us go inside. Then you can acquaint me with this plan of yours.
Minutes later, Moira, Xavier, Hank, and Magneto stand in the center of one of the larger laboratories. Scott looks on as the others all sit or stand around the room.
It's Scott's plan. He should explain it.
You're better at that than me.
Go ahead, Scott.
As Magneto calls him by his first name, a shiver goes up Scott's spine.
All right. We will form a 3-wave defense. The first wave will be air support. That will be Banshee, Angel, and you. Assuming they aren't made of metal, like Trask's prototypes, you should find a way to use what's around you against them.
Without wrecking my island?
While Angel and Banshee provide support.
I'll see if I can scream a few of those buggers apart.
As Scott continues talking, Lorna nervously and timidly makes her way towards Wanda and Pietro, with curiosity in her eyes. The twins turn and look at her with the same curiosity.
Hi.
Hello, Lorna.
This is awkward, but...
You don't need to say it. We all know, sister.
Well, half-sister, technically.
But family, nonetheless.
If I may ask, why are you with him? They told me you turned on him.
We looked after him while he was in his coma. And the last few days, well, we've been asking ourselves the same question.
I guess that no matter whatever else he is, no matter whatever else he has done, he's still our father.
I admit he has a way with words, and makes some valid points in amongst his madness. But make no mistake about it, he is evil. You should have heard him on Genosha. Never trust him, Lorna. Don't let him ensnare you like he did us.
But after this, if we survive, then we are done for good.
You could come with us. Unless, do you have any reason to stay with Xavier?
Lorna turns her head and looks over at Bobby, then at Alex, letting her gaze stay on him.
I'm not sure.
The plan is futile. If reports are correct, then dozens, maybe even 100 models have been created. We would run out of people and energy before we could destroy them all.
Then how about you come up with a better one?
We go to Washington. I kill the president and his cabinet, and I make them tell us where Trask's command base is. Then we destroy it.
You know I will never agree to that.
Then stay here and die, Charles, while I give our race hope.
I have a better idea, Eric. A better way. I will go to Congress and convince them the error of their ways.
You mean mind wipe them?
No. I mean convince them. Mind manipulation has its limits. And if I leave the current climate as it is, then the ones I change will simply be replaced.
Trying to get out of the firing line? Coward!
My powers affect human minds. I am no good to you here.
I'll come with you.
Fine. Then I will...
Sean. You're in charge until we get back. Scott, you're in field command.
Aye.
Understood.
Look, I don't take no orders from no kid. Or Lucky Charms here.
Let's see if I can't use me voice to make you a bit thinner there, boyo.
Listen to who you like. Just follow the plan. This island needs to hold until I can end this. Understand? Eric. Understand?
Yes. But if you fail, then I pray we will get a chance to do things my way, before it's too late. I told you, Charles, no matter what you have done for them, no matter what has happened between us, I knew, I always knew, that it would come down to us versus them.
Moira, let's go.
Moira follows Charles as he wheels himself out of the room, shaking her head and exhaling as they are finally out of there.
Are you sure it's a good idea to leave them alone with him?
We have the numbers, Moira, and Eric knows it.
The Blackbird powers up and again takes to the sky, leaving the huge combined force behind to do battle as the two set course for Washington, D.C. As minutes turn to hours, all the rest of them can do is wait. Warren, walking through the exotic and costumed crowd to find Bobby, smiling at him as he sits down.
Hey.
Hi.
Scott says we need to wait until Hank picks up something on radar.
Yep.
So, have you and Alex spoken?
Nope.
You really need to. In case, you know.
And say what? The guy's barely been at the school a month and he made his move. If that's what she wants, then whatever.
Maybe it isn't what she wants.
Yeah, right.
Talk to her.
If we survive, maybe.
Across the room, Lorna and Jean are having a similar conversation.
How stupid is this? I'm sharing a roof with my long-lost mass-murdering terrorist father, my brother and sister from another marriage. And we're about to get attacked by giant robots made by the government to kill us, and all I can think about is this crap.
It's not crap. At our age, it's all we should really be caring about. It's not our fault genetics chose us, made our lives this crazy.
Yeah, I guess.
You'll know. When it's right. I mean, look at what almost happened with Warren. Now I just see my best friend, nothing else. But you need to make a choice before you lose both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Jean.
No problem.
You and Scott seem pretty serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, we might have hours yet before anything happens. You should be with him. Just in case, you know?
Are you kidding? Scott's in leader mode. Nothing will take his mind off that now. He takes his role as field leader very seriously.
Yeah, I noticed. But you never know what could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Same goes to you, Missy. Sort it out. Talk to them.
I will.
All right. Scott!
Jean walks over as Cyclops is in mid-tactic conversation with Sean Cassidy, papers and all.
Yeah, but if Hank moves back, then Blob won't have any support.
Don't be daft. Have you seen the size of the man? Haven't seen much that can hurt that tub of guts yet.
Scott?
Sorry, Banshee. Yes, Jean?
You're coming with me.
Scott looks down with a start as his arm is grabbed and pulled. He is being pulled across the room towards the far exit.
What? Why? What's happening? Did Beast...
No, you just need to come with me.
Jean, this is really important. We could be attacked at any moment.
It's been hours, Scott. I'm sure we have a few more.
For what? Where are we going?
To my bunk.
Oh. Jean, really, this isn't... I mean, you do realize Magneto is here, right? And Sentinels are on their...
Stop talking.
Okay.
Sean gives a lopsided grin and waves to Scott. Lorna smiles herself as she watches the two leave the room. Others chuckling, especially Bobby and Warren. Lorna stands and makes her way towards the opposite door, motioning to Bobby to follow her. But as she turns back from this, she almost walks straight into Magneto.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
You are too young to be fraternizing with the likes of them.
That is none of your business.
Of course it's my business. I am your father.
By blood, maybe, but you didn't raise me, and I want nothing to do with you.
Lorna.
Can you please move? I want some air.
Magneto exhales and moves aside, Lorna storming out of the room, Alex watching this from afar with concern. As she leaves, Magneto turns and walks with a stride into the center of the room.
Where is Cyclops?
He's busy. Can I take a message?
We should be getting into formation.
We've no indication they've even sent anything for us yet.
Perhaps not. But we should be ready.
We get ready when I or Scott say so, all right?
Fool. Brotherhood, let's go and man the perimeter. Make sure at least someone is on watch while these children play.
Yes, Master.
Yeah, all right.
Wanda, Pietro, that means you two as well.
We aren't in your brotherhood anymore, Dad. We aren't here for you.
I see. The rest of you, come.
Magneto gestures, leaving the room in almost a march, his two followers only a few steps behind him. Hours pass with nothing. Magneto keeps watch, hovering over the island in the night sky with his arms folded. He speaks not a word as Toad and Blob patrol the ground below. Inside, the doors of the living area open, and Cyclops and Jean join the group outside.
You've been gone a while. Alex, I'm not having this conversation with you.
The door opens and Hank runs into the room.
We got incoming.
How many?
Oh, lots.
Across the world in a dark operations room, uniformed men and women look up at dozens of screens, each working on computers, inputting commands to the Sentinels.
Press squad is inbound on the Scottish Isles.
I knew it was a good idea to give our allies a detector. The scanners lost almost a dozen powerful mutant signatures, and then we pick up the biggest concentration of mutants ever recorded on that island.
What a coincidence.
My father had a dream. A dream of a world safe from mutants. And it's time to fulfill that dream.
The mutant army run out from the main entrance and to their agreed positions, forming the defense line. Angel scowls as he joins Magneto in the air.
Comlink's on. Everyone hear me? Beta team.
Here.
Gamma.
Loud and clear.
Air team.
You're coming in great, Scott.
Magneto? Magneto, I said—
Yes, I hear you, boy.
All right. We got more than 20 sentinels incoming. No idea how many more may be on the way. We have to hold this base until the professor can do his work. Our entire race is counting on us. This is it. Tonight we stand, or we die.
In the clouds above, the sentinels zero in on target.
We see them. Oh my. Multiple targets. They appear to be in an attack formation.
Trask and his men look to the screen as the clouds part, revealing Muir Island and the mass of mutants on it.
That's them! The X-Men! And Magneto?
I thought he was dead.
Just as I knew it. They're on the same side. All in on it together. Ha! Attack!
Entering the units into attack mode.
With a few simple presses on his keyboard, the operator sends the command. And it begins.
Incoming.
Here we go, people. Engage targets, air team.
With that, Angel wings himself forward. Banshee letting out a scream as he leaps from the tallest of the facility's towers and takes to the air. Using his yellow and black striped gliding wings to catch the air, and his sonic scream to propel himself towards the giant machines. Angel's eyes open wide as one of the units stops and hovers, raising its hand to fire. Warren evades with skill, barrel rolling to avoid the blasts and then coming in swinging for the robot, but is slammed away by a giant fist. Banshee flies in, stopping to bring himself upright, and then, as he falls, lets out a massive sonic scream. So powerful that it begins to shatter the Sentinel's head into pieces. Then catches himself with his scream as he falls. Magneto reaches back and pulls up a large piece of one of the walls, coiling it into a giant metal rod. Then, with all his might, he throws the giant metal rod through a sentinel, destroying it. Two more sentinels come in, blasting away. Magneto avoids one attack, and then throws up his magnetic shield against the other, straining as he fights against the force of the blast.
Any time, children.
Havoc, Iceman.
Yup.
Aye, aye.
The three come forward and attack. Cyclops' optic blast, Havoc's solar rings, Iceman's ice blast, all firing into the air at the Sentinels, who return fire with full force.
Everyone!
Bobby runs forward and leaps off the edge of the platform, falling down towards the ocean, and then extending his hands and forming an ice slide.
Yeah!
Gliding up as he travels into the air towards the Sentinels, he throws shards of ice with all his might. Sentinels fly in, reaching the ground, and attempt to destroy everything in sight. There are explosions everywhere as the mutants engage the monstrosities with everything they have. Each of them using their powers to their fullest as they find a target and fire at will. Jean reaches out back to back with Lorna as she strains with her mind, pulling one of the sentinels down onto its knees. It reaches out its arm to break its fall, Quicksilver runs past her and up the arm. As the robot stands and reaches to its neck to grab him, it finds itself too late. The speedster pulls out something that looks very important, and the sentinel drops to the ground before it can even react. The damaged robot reaches for him, but Wanda moves forward and sends a hex blast into its head, which finishes the job her twin had started, sending the sentinel's head falling from its shoulders and to the ground with a mighty crash. The sentinels push forward, knocking first Banshee out of the air, then Magneto. Two more fire into the crowd of mutants, sending them flying. On one of the towers, Beast gallops on all fours, growling like an animal, then leaps into the night sky with a roar and down onto one of the sentinels' backs. The robot reaches for him, but Havoc fires, blasting it in the face, distracting it enough to allow Hank to let go. Roaring and in pure animalistic rage, he rips and tears up the sentinel's back, pulling metal from wire and wire from frame. The giant machine falls to the ground with a huge impact, Beast leaping from it, landing on all fours and rising up as the sentinel goes lifeless behind him. He winks at Cyclops, who nods back, and then turns with a start, blasting away at a sentinel behind him, back to back with his brother, as they both defend themselves. Bobby slides on his ice slide, freezing limbs and parts of whatever sentinel is before him. Suddenly, a stray sentinel beam slices through his slide, destroying his creation, and sending him falling through the air. Luckily, to be caught by Jean.
I got you.
Thanks, Jean.
The sentinels circle around, coming in for another attack on Bobby. Havoc intercepts the robots, sending his solar rings full force from his chest and arms, causing them to retreat. Bobby nods to Havoc in thanks, Havoc nodding back. Then they run forward and rejoin the battle as it rages, the tide beginning to turn. A world away, the President of the United States sits, writing, unaware that he is about to get a unique visitor.
Mr. President, Charles Xavier is here to see you.
What? I don't have any appointments. Who are you? How did you get in here?
I have my ways. We need to talk, Mr. President. I am Charles Xavier. This is Dr. Moira MacTaggert.
Security! Remove these people.
The president reaches for his phone.
I wouldn't do that if I was you, Mr. President.
You're one of them.
I have made sure no one will disturb us. If you call anyone in here, they won't even see us.
What do you want?
Like I said, we need to talk.
The first wave are being trashed. I didn't expect this much resistance.
They planned this. They played it smart. Send in the second wave.
Sir, the second fleet have only just come off the factory floor. We had them on patrol before this operation.
Time for them to sink or swim. Send them in.
Aye, sir.
Orders received.
Cyclops, only two more left.
This was easier than we thought.
Too easy.
Damn it! Backup incoming.
We're getting tired, hurt. We won't last another wave.
Speak for yourself, Zippy. I could do this all night.
The mutants look up as the second squadron flies in and lands. Time for round two. As the first of the new Sentinels land, it fires right at Scott. He retaliates, the two beams colliding, sending the young man flying back and down hard.
Scott!
Commencing mutant termination.
Get away from him! Lorna, help me!
I'll try, but What? Wait.
The two women stand side by side, reaching out and using everything they have to grab the sentinel. Jean pulling the robot's charged arm back from Scott as Polaris begins to tear at the other. The two then come closer together and reaching out with all of their might to grab every limb of the sentinel and start to draw and quarter it. The sentinel resists.
I don't know how much longer I can.
Allow me, ladies.
A hex blast into the sentinel's head destroys it. Jean and Polaris then rip the rest of its body into several parts and send them flying. Blob has just a moment to leap out of the way, a twitching finger crashing into him, obliterating itself on impact.
Hey! Watch it!
I shouldn't have been able to even grab them. Something's different about these ones.
What?
Across the way, a sentinel blast sends Blob flying. Toad hops up onto one of the facility's walls and leaps off. The leaping mutant is suddenly blasted out of the air. Beast sees this and is just able to leap into the air and catch him, lowering him safely to the ground.
Toad? Toad!
I'm alive. But that really hurt.
I'll get you inside for medical attention. Hang on.
Hank stops in mid-sentence, turns around, as a sentinel stops right behind them, bringing its arm up to fire, then stops. Its arm slowly turns around to face another sentinel, the arm cannon releasing its charge and destroying its fellow unit. Hank and Toad look up into the sky where Magneto lowers his arms from them, a sly smile on his face.
Oh dear.
What the hell was that? How did he do that?
I told you, sir. The second wave are different.
Different how?
Mr. Trask, I can answer that.
All right, Doc. Answers. Now.
The Sentinels cost millions to make. Magneto was a non-factor. We thought he was dead.
Spit it out!
The first wave was built from your father's designs and prototypes, but the non-metallic alloys he used are very expensive. And with Magneto a non-factor, we made the rest of the Sentinels out of metal.
What?
We thought Magneto was dead, sir, and it cut production cost and times in half. Your deadlines...
No, no! Send in the third group of units!
The third fleet is here in the U.S., sir. It would take hours for them to reach Scotland. And even if that wasn't the case...
They are all made of metal as well.
You're fired, Doctor. Get him out of my sight! You! I want options. Now!
Sir, I don't...
Have every sentinel we have target Magneto! Overwhelm him!
Yes, Mr. Trask.
Back at Muir Island, the tide has indeed turned. Magneto rises up high into the air to get a better vantage point, empowered by the knowledge that he can affect the metal machines. All of the sentinels then turn on command for Magneto, coming in on him.
Human fools. Building an army of metal men to attack the master of magnetism.
Magneto raises both arms, reaching out and grabbing a sentinel with each hand. Then, gritting his teeth, he brings his arms together. The two sentinels come together and explode. He then reaches out and grabs another, sending it flying into the ocean, tearing it apart as it falls and then sinks.
What's happening?
Are you sentinels? They're made out of metal.
But I thought...
They didn't know about Lorna, and they thought Magneto was dead.
Awesome! That's great, right? We win!
Do we?
Magneto continues to tear apart and destroy the Sentinels one by one. Four left. Magneto reaches out his hand and stops them in their tracks. Then looks down at the X-Men below him. He then pulls the remaining machines upright to face him. Then, with a twist of his wrists, turns them to face those below.
Son of a... I knew it.
You backstabbing bastard!
Now. We knew this was only a temporary alliance. After all, I lost over 6 months of my life, and I demand retribution from all of you. Starting with the one who did it to me.
Magneto brings one of the Sentinel's arms down, opening its charged hand towards Jean.
Magneto, no. Take me first. I stopped your plans. I let Jean free on Genosha do that to you. I manipulated you to reveal your true intention to your twins. I did. If you want to punish someone, then punish me, please.
I'm about to. Sorry it has to be this way, Jean, my dear.
No. No, I won't let you.
You won't let me?
Lorna! No!
Yes, father. You are not the only one who has sway over metal. And Xavier has helped my power reach new heights.
Magneto looks over with a start as his sentinels are twisted and turned around, their hand pulse weapons turning towards him. Magneto tries with all he has to push back against her, the two masters of magnetism pushing against each other's strength.
That may be, Lorna, but you are still young and inexperienced. Your power cannot hope to compete with mine.
Havok comes forward to blast Magneto. Toad, seeing this, runs and leaps into the air for Alex.
Master, watch out!
Cyclops turns and with an optic blast sends Toad falling to the ground. Down and out.
Useless! Useless, incompetent cretin! Why did I ever recruit you?
Hearing this, Toad slowly rises up with a frown, looks over to Wanda and Pietro, who have a told-you look upon their face. Behind them, Blob has rejoined them. Sees what is happening and, with a yell, charges for Lorna, who is still battling powers with Magneto over the remaining Sentinels.
Yeah, well, good thing you have me, boss.
But then, Toad's face turns to a scowl. Toad hopping and then leaping for Blob, spitting out green gunk right into his face and over his eyes.
You little... I can't see!
Blob yells, struggling to try and get the sticky green substance off.
Not so useless after all, Magneto.
Magneto growls down at Toad as below. Polaris then begins rising into the air. Hovering with the magnetic fields of the Earth for the first time, just like her father, rising up to meet him in the night sky.
This ends now.
You cannot beat me, girl. Stop trying.
Where was I? Oh, yeah.
Havok blasts Magneto full force, knocking him back. That brief second allows Lorna the upper hand, bringing the Sentinel's arms to face him. Magneto looks up, his face showing his resignation to what is about to happen.
No. No, I'm not like you. I'm my mother's daughter.
Magneto looks back at her, shocked as the Sentinels are torn apart and fall from the sky, crashing into the ocean.
Your mistake.
In a rage, Magneto rushes her, only to be driven back by blasts from Cyclops and Havok. With a swift motion, Lorna lifts Magneto's helmet from his head and sends it flying out to sea. On the ground, Jean steps forward and reaches her hands to her head.
Luckily for you, Magneto, I know how to do this right this time. It's more than you deserve.
You should have killed me.
With those last words, Magneto closes his eyes and falls from the sky. Pietro runs at super speed and catches him, placing his father's unconscious body on the ground.
You're lucky these are good people.
As the group settle, Angel and Banshee come in to land as they all regroup. Blob is just able to rip the goo from his face.
Yeah, now. Oh.
We going to have a problem, Blob?
Ugh. Screw it. Now.
Wait a minute. What about Trask?
Back at operations, Larry Trask is not taking the news well. The operators around the room look at him with either concern or fear. The screens all static, as he screams and storms around the room in a rage.
You're fired! You're all fired! Get out!
That won't be necessary, Mr. Trask.
The doors of the room open, and Charles Xavier wheels his electric wheelchair through it, followed by 20 armed police officers.
Because no one works here anymore. This company has been shut down. For good.
How did you... Who are you?
My name is Charles Xavier, and I'm a mutant. A mutant who has just had a very productive chat with the President. He and I came to the agreement that the Sentinel program is both inhuman and un-American.
Un-American? What do you know about it, you crippled freak? I demand to see him. I demand to see the President. What are you doing?
Lawrence Trask, you're under arrest for the murder of FBI agent Fred Duncan. You have the right to remain silent.
What? Who? What are you talking about? What has this muley said to you? He has control of the President's mind.
Quite the opposite, actually. I told the President about Agent Duncan. When we tried to contact him and got no answer, we pulled enough strings to find out what you did. Maybe you should have used another assassin rather than someone who has worked for the government. In fact, finding that out was the best closing argument I can think of. He sent me and these fine officers right over.
With that, the cops slap on the cuffs and begin to drag Larry away.
You freak! I'll kill you for this! I will kill you! You hear me, Xavier? I will kill you! They won't hold me. I am Larry Trask. My father...
was a hero in the end. He saw the error of his ways. Hopefully you will see yours. You will have plenty of time on your hands to think about it.
How dare you, Xavier? How dare you, you mutant?
Trask's voice fades away as the door closes. Xavier sighs and brings his fingers to his head.
Moira, bring the car around. Our work is done.
2 days later, after Xavier and Moira return, the entire group gets some much-needed rest. The X-Men, Xavier, Moira, Banshee, and the twins walk from the facility entrance towards the Blackbird jet.
The deal was the Sentinel program being shut down, in exchange for the Brotherhood. But since they have no way of imprisoning them, short of making chambers like my stepbrother's, they have agreed to turn custody over to Moira.
You have ways of holding them?
Aye. A plastic prison for Eric was already in the works months ago. Charles and I just hoped he would never wake up. And then the other two just needed some custom jobs. Don't worry, they're safely locked up. This island is turning into more of a mutant prison than a lab. Between them and...
Yes, well... at least in there, they can't hurt anyone else.
Aye.
What about Wanda and Pietro?
The President agreed to give them a pardon for their efforts in stopping Magneto. And I was hoping they would consider joining us as the Institute.
Sorry, Xavier. We do hate our father. But we aren't up for raising your flag either. We should be moving on.
We promise not to cause any more trouble for you.
Let's hope so.
Okay. What about you, Sean? My students are getting older, and from what Scott tells me, you fit right in as an X-Man.
Maybe someday, Professor. I have some things to finish here. But if you ever need my help, then don't hesitate to pick up your phone and call.
A pity. Very well then, X-Men. It's time for us to go.
Be well, Charles. And be careful. That goes to the rest of you as well.
We will. Thanks, Moira.
I'm staying too.
Hank?
I still don't want to be an X-Man. And this place has everything I could ever ask for in finding a way to reverse the mistake I made. If you will have me, Moira.
Of course.
Hank. Farewell.
Hugs, Handshakes and kisses are exchanged. And then, moments later, the others wave as the X-Men walk the last few steps to their jet.
Bobby, we need to have a talk on the plane at some point.
No need.
Huh?
Look, I'm sorry for being a jerk, but if you like Alex, then I won't get in the way.
Thanks, Bobby.
Lorna leans in and kisses Bobby on the cheek. She smiles at him and looks over at Alex and gives him a knowing smile. Alex returns it.
So, Magneto and the Brotherhood are locked up, the Sentinel program is shut down. What else is left for us to do?
Scott, I have a feeling we will find out.
The Blackbird comes to life and soars into the air. Moira and Co. waving them off as they blast off for home. Hank would remain at Muir Island for the rest of the year, before leaving to find himself. Meanwhile, this team of X-Men would stay together for almost another year and have many more adventures too numerous to tell. But this is not the end of our story, dear listeners. This is just the beginning.
X-Men Season 1, Battle for Survival. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Starring Omri Rose as Cyclops, Natalie Winter as Jean Grey, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Daniel Earle as Magneto, Stephen Chesterton as Beast, Robert Pierce as Angel, Joseph Sibirik as Iceman, Sarah Langton as Polaris, John Curcio as Havoc, Mr. John as Banshee, Isabel Wolf as the Scarlet Witch and Moira McTaggart, Nathan Dunford as Quicksilver, Drew Kalen as the Blob, Thaddeus Gilmore as Toad, Daniel Carey as Larry Trask, Kevin Gaddy as the President, Michael Source as the Scientist, music by Declan Gilgallon, written, edited and directed by Calderton, based on the works of Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, and Roy Thomas. X-Men or characters therein are trademark of Marvel Entertainment. No infringement intended. Season 2, coming soon.